Thank you very much. I am a paediatrician with an interest in parasitology, which is what took me to the present position with Helen Keller International. I've worked for over 30 years on and off in Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone will always have challenges. It's part of the makeup of the place. And I'll take you through the challenges and the opportunities on all the different phases of our one case study, one paper that was published in the MCHJ in January of this year. The inception, the ideas behind that paper date back to about 2005. And I'll take you through the genesis, how it was implemented, not so much focusing on the publication side, but also really focusing on the post-publication side and the policy and the implementation that is coming about now as a result of this study, which is also aided, of course, by having the results published. The case study is actually entitled Integrating Vitamin A Supplementation Within the Expanded Program of Immunization. There were 12 authors. We were limited to 12. We would have had 20 if you'd allowed us to have 20. There's myself and four of my colleagues from Sierra Leone who work with me within HKI. The next two in red, Karoma and Kande, are members of the Ministry of Health in Sierra Leone at national level, one at district level. The next two characters, Udregio and Wolf, were both interns with me at the time, and they provided a lot of backup for the statistical analysis that we did. Sierra Leone is resource-strapped at every level, and statistics is one of those levels that really struggles. So I was very fortunate to have one American intern from Columbia University and Ras Matter, who was a West Africa Health Authority intern with us from Burkina Faso. And then the last three characters are senior regional people within HKI. HKI has been linked with vitamin A for many decades and is firmly committed to the distribution of vitamin A in vitamin A deficient communities. And we're firmly convinced that vitamin A supplementation has a major impact on child survival and child well-being, mortality and morbidity in vitamin A deficient populations. But to achieve these results, you need good coverage. You need to get at least 80% coverage, which is normally done through mass campaigns every 6 months, which are highly successful. In the Sierra Leonean context, we get over 85% coverage when we do these mass campaigns. The problem with a mass campaign is if your infant is 5 months old at the time of the campaign, your infant will not receive vitamin A. You have to be 6 months old. So your child will wait until he or she is 11 months old before accessing vitamin A through these mass campaigns. And that latter half of infancy, especially in the tropics, is the most vulnerable part of infancy. So how do we move from mass campaigns, which governments love, because they can wrap all sorts of interventions into a mass campaign? You can do deworming, you can do growth monitoring, you can do mass mother-to-child transmission for HIV, contact tracing, and they tend to overload these campaigns. But they generate a lot of funds for government, and they generate a lot of funds for health workers as well, who prefer to leave the routine stuff and wait for a mass campaign. So how do you move away from mass campaigns to integrating it within government routine structures? And CEDA had provided HKI with considerable funds to look at various strategies of how we could move away from mass campaigns to routine supplementation. And Senegal tried community outreach. Côte d'Ivoire, which is considerably more sophisticated than many other countries in West Africa, used SMS messaging. And in Sierra Leone, we got vitamin A supplementation recognized within the EPI schedule. To do that, we had to redesign the child health cards. And when you come to redesign a child health card, which everybody is using, everybody wants to have a say in the redesigning. So it took us 2 years to get consensus on what the new card should look like. The WHO wanted their new growth cards. The mother-to-child transmission people were very late to the table, but then wanted their bit. A program that hadn't even really been launched had to be incorporated into the card as well. HKI took responsibility for coordinating all the new cards, also for pre-testing all the messages. One of the things we were really quite convinced about was that the new cards should have more take-home messages in them than the old cards had. And we wanted to make sure that those take-home messages were properly understood by the most illiterate of the mothers that we were serving. So we tested and pre-tested and tested these messages time and again to make sure that they would understand the images and also the messages that were accompanying the images. We looked after the ethical approval, the training, the data collection analysis. All of the research was actually done through Ministry of Health using existing and still operational functions. So the research was running alongside, totally integrated within current practices. And we had three different intervention regimes. This is what the new card looked like after two years of battles. And you can see we've got, this is a ladder. This is supposed to be a ladder down here. This is a fourfold card. Okay, so this is the front of the card, and this is one of the flaps which shows the immunization schedule, which previously to vitamin A being integrated with MPI, children would go from 14 weeks of age with their last DPT polio, and they would go perhaps until 9 months of age before they would come back for measles and yellow fever. Whereas now they would be given an appointment to come back at 6 months of age for their first dose of vitamin A. You can see the other messages here on family planning, complementary feeding, exclusive breastfeeding, etc. These are the new growth cards that WHO insisted upon including. Our health workers were struggling with the old cards. Graphs were not something that came easy to them, even when it was one graph. Having two graphs, one for boys and one for girls, is going to give them many, many challenges. We'll come after the card was launched, within 12 months of the card being launched, of course, we had Ebola. And all weighing as a routine stopped in Sierra Leone because of people being concerned about excessive contact and the possibility of children picking up Ebola from another child who'd been weighed in the same basket or bag. So all weighing is, there's no more weighing happening to date. Everything is done by mid-upper arm circumference now. So as you can see, these are the other messages. So the team consisted of the HKI teams and the Ministry of Health teams. I've described the HKI teams already. We had 12 peripheral health units in the Western area. We confined ourselves in and around the capital for ease of the study. And we had three different intervention regimes. We didn't have a control because we all know that vitamin A at 6 months is what we're aiming for, so there was no need for a control. So the nearest thing we had to a control was the new card. Those clinics that only were implementing a new card with a 6 month contact point for vitamin A. We had another intervention which included at 6 months, it would be nice to show mothers what a proper complementary food ought to look like. And we took the opportunity in the third group to do all of the above, but also make sure that the mother had the opportunity for routine, confidential family planning counseling and provision. And that was something which we are still battling with Ministry of Health for them to understand what we mean when we talk about routine confidential. We mean the mother doesn't have to ask for it. It's something that will be offered to her when she comes at 6 months with her 6-month-old infant. And it's confidential in that it will take place in a side room. It's not going to be held in public with all her neighbours listening in. These are really big concepts which Ministry of Health is still not quite grasping. Funding came from all different directions. UNICEF pay for all the funding for EPI, The Global Fund pay for our National Malaria Control Program, and the WHO had a small input because of these new weight grants. But CEDA was the major funder, was the funder for the actual study, the pilot study. And we embarked upon the study thinking we had a 12-month time frame. Had we known that we would actually get 24 months, we would have designed the study a little bit differently and been able to say more about our results. Mari Stopes collaborated and provided us with the nursing aide who provided the family planning, and they also provided all the family planning commodities. And a local NGO provided the food that was used for the complementary food demonstrations. We collected all sorts of data, masses and masses and masses of data. We collected it directly by my team being in clinics on child health days, collecting the data directly from the child health cards, but also catching up on cases that might have come through in the preceding days by going to the Ministry of Health ledgers and copying the data out of the ledgers. We looked at immunisation status, mothers' participation, and of course the main objective was to look at what was the coverage for vitamin A at 6 months. During the course of the study, we had lots of loss to follow up, which is what you would expect in a society like Sierra Leone. Many people come to the capital to have their babies and then go back up country to live with their mothers or their mother-in-laws. So there was a lot of loss to follow up. And inevitably, with a very high child mortality rate, there were deaths as well in our study group. When possible, we did house visits and inquired from the families if we could trace them or from the neighbours what had become of that individual child. And there was nothing unusual. The normal malarias, fevers, diarrheas, coughs, etc. Writing the manuscript, the challenge there is time. Everybody has a day job, everybody has a busy day job, and writing a manuscript has to be fitted in amongst all those other obligations. So my nutrition program manager was the person who drafted the manuscript and would send it to me. Reviews, revisions, back and forth, taking many months. Then, of course, you have to send it out to your co-authors and be patient, and maybe send it out to three or four co-authors at the same time, and then have to make sure that you've grasped and grappled with all the different comments and brought it all together into the next version, which has to go out again for everybody to look at. So the process takes a long time. I reckon here 7 to 8 months is a conservative figure. What did we actually find? Well, the important things that we found were, as expected, just putting vitamin A into the EPI schedule got us from an unknown figure, which wasn't being collected previously, but certainly less than 5% for routine vitamin A supplementation, up to over 60% just by putting it in the new card, doing nothing else to your clinics at all, just letting them carry on business as usual. When we added it in with a demonstration on complementary food, which always happened with mother's participation, it's not something she was told, this is what you do, this is something she gets up and she does it herself for her child, we got up to 72%. And then when we added in family planning, we got up to 75%. So as you can see, the card was the major factor in getting vitamin A supplementation out there. But what we expected to find and what we did find was there was a tremendous unmet need for family planning. And 62% of the mothers who were offered routine counselling accepted routine counselling at this 6-month contact point. And 70% of those went away with a commodity that day. So a tremendous opportunity to help fill the contraceptive gap that exists in a community such as this. Normally family planning services are held on a separate day with a big family planning day. So you have to excuse yourself from home or excuse yourself from your duties on the farm to walk however many kilometres to the clinic for family planning, and everybody knows that that's why you've gone to the clinic. In this context, you're going to the clinic because your child needs vitamin A. And the fact that you come away after a confidential conversation with family planning commodities is your own business. Nobody else need know about it. So we submitted. This is my recollection. I can't remember exactly, but I have the feeling it was about 2 months before we got a decision. We were certainly asked to do some minor revisions, which we probably overbuilt our 1 month time frame on. And then the formatting, the production line, I think took longer than a month from what I can remember, but so much has happened since then. Preliminary results have been presented in a variety of other fora, because I think it's really important for other countries in Africa to listen to this story. I think it's been tremendously exciting from our perspective, and it's something that can be replicated in many other countries. It has, even before the final results were out, government and UNICEF were committed to a national scale-up. And that began in early 2013. And we knew it was going to be challenging because we're scaling up from 12 study PHUs with all the support that goes into a study, scaling up to over 1,100 PHUs, half of which are in very hard-to-reach locations. We always knew it was going to be difficult. We had funds from the new CEDAR, the Department of Foreign Affairs, Trade and Development, the Canadians again, which goes both through HKI and through UNICEF. But IrishAid also joined in and were very committed and remain very committed to funding this to national scale up. We were moving along quite nicely, had trained all health workers in charge of PHUs in 8 out of 14 districts. And as you can see, things fell apart. In May of last year, my team were in Kailahun, which is on the borders with Liberia, and had to take a police escort to move from the venue where they were training to an alternative venue because the communities were becoming very hostile towards outsiders because of the beginnings of Ebola. We withdrew, and UNICEF withdrew, and Ministry of Health withdrew all outreach workers from Sierra Leone in May. And 6 weeks later, 16 of the 72 people we had trained in May had died. Everything came to a stop. Everything non-Ebola in Sierra Leone came to a stop until about March of this year, when it was evident that we were really getting on top of the Ebola situation. And we've been able to restart our program around June. Slow start, as you might imagine, very slow start. Ministry have one eye on development and another eye still on emergency. So they're wanting to move forward, but everybody's not quite sure from 1 month to another whether we can or whether we're still back in emergency. We think to really scale up, to really institutionalize this 6 month contact point, not do it piecemeal, but to really grapple with it and really get access to family planning to all of these women who go to clinic with a 6 month old infant, it's going to take us about $1.2 million. Not the $250,000 or the $300,000 that we are currently receiving. What did we learn? Well, we learned the same old, same old. We learned that quality control during research is essential, and you cannot really delegate that. The principal investigator really does have to take responsibility for that and make sure by field visits that things are going according to plan. If we'd known we had a 24-month time frame, we would have chosen a bigger sample size to begin with. We would have chosen 600 kids for each intervention and not the 400. And then I think we would have been able to show that the children whose mothers had opted for family planning were actually growing better at 24 months of age than those whose mothers hadn't. We were able to show the contraceptive gap was remarkably, we knew it was big. We knew that only 16% of mothers were having access to family planning commodities. But the eagerness, and I think the word is eagerness, with which they opted for this intervention was remarkable. And the other thing that I think for me was the most important lesson I learnt was that to be a successful family planning counsellor, you don't need to be a highly trained health worker. This lady in yellow is a nursing aide. She's the lowest cadre of health worker that the government recognises, and highly successful. She is of the same socioeconomic status as many of the ladies with whom she is counselling. She can talk the same language. She can empathise with their circumstances. She is not judgmental. They will listen to her advice and they will take her advice. Very often when you train senior people, midwives or senior nursing staff, they come from a different socioeconomic group. They're immediately talking down to their clientele and criticizing them for having so many children. A classic example, last week one of our family planning ladies was talking to a 23-year-old having her first child, and she was running through the whole gamut of family planning commodities, and she finished up by recommending that this teenager, she was 23, not quite a teenager, but this young lady should send her boyfriend for a vasectomy. Now that is not quality family planning counselling, because that lady obviously is not going to take that advice. It's inappropriate advice. Other lessons learned. We knew that there was a shortage of suitably trained health workers. Unfortunately, during Ebola, we lost another 221. We knew the supply chain was weak. And the quantity of family planning commodities that are coming into the country and getting distributed is insufficient for need. One thing that pleased me especially was during Ebola, many clinics had to close, many health facilities had to shut down temporarily because they'd had a case of Ebola, either in a patient or in a health worker. And they had to shut for 21 days whilst the clinic was decontaminated. The clinics that had fully integrated the six-month contact point were much more robust. Their clientele continued to come to clinic, even though the population was very frightened. They came to clinic because they knew they would get the demo on complementary feed, but they also desperately wanted to make sure they didn't get pregnant during Ebola. Ladies who were having to deliver during Ebola were in a very precarious situation. We also found that using an industrially prepared complementary food that is made from local ingredients worked very well. It was hygienic, it's ready roasted, so you only have to mix boiling water and you can mix up your porridge there and then. It was fast, easy to use, and actually worked out cheaper than trying to provide clinics with commodities to go and buy their own. I've lived in Syria, as I said, for 30-something years. When I first went there, the population was 3.6 million people. The census was postponed last year and is going to take place in December of this year. And by all accounts, we're anticipating 7.2 million people. So it has doubled in my working lifetime. I would like to thank the donors and yourselves. Thank you.
Politics of the partnership. You said you were at 20, and now 12, and an editorial decision. But could you just talk a little bit more about the
A.S. Karoma is the director of the Food and Nutrition Directorate in the Ministry of Health, and this was a program ostensibly under her jurisdiction as a nutrition intervention. J.N. Kande was the district medical officer for the Western area in whose jurisdiction we were functioning, and it was with his blessing that the program took part, and he was the one who helped select which 12 PHUs would be the most suitable PHUs. I think we're inferring, they didn't actually contribute much to the writing of the article or the reviewing of the article or querying the data sets or challenging results or doing that sort of intellectual scrutiny that is required before you're ready for submission. Certainly the Director of Nutrition was very fundamental and very active during the planning stages when we were developing the new child health cards. She was very, very active at that stage. And nothing happens district-wise. You have to have the DMO on board. So in terms of the planning or the implementation, they were very key figures. I'm not sure I quite understand what you're asking. These were people who had the most input into getting a manuscript up to speed, ready for submission, yeah. Yeah, I was being very generous, I think, with time frames there. I think it was more like 18 months from the time I started seriously being able to give it time to look at what had been drafted by my nutrition program manager to the time when it was finally published. It was more like 18 months from start to finish. Half of that time probably pre-submission, and yes, we did submit. We submitted to Lancet Global Health, and they didn't think it was up their street. So one of the problems we had was that the nutritional data that suggested that there was a difference in growth between these three groups was because we had had so many loss to follow up, we couldn't really state what we would have liked to have stated. So we had to be very cautious about how we put that. And finally, I think we withdrew it altogether. And you asked something else as well. There was only, I think, one review, if I can remember correctly, that was of substantial have another think and look at it and say it a bit differently. I think everything else was very minor.
Yes. how the Ebola epidemic that looked at gender disparities and just focused on mortality rates, which often is not a significant difference between mortality rates for men and women. And I think what's in underrepresented from the research is the both acute but also importantly longer term gender disparities that result from something like that, which I think is in your program. So I was wondering if you could comment a little bit about that, about hidden gender disparities in access to care and
One of the big things that Irish Aid especially are concerned about is the rise of teenage pregnancies during Ebola. People were so worried about going to health facilities that they stayed away. And we have now a baby boom amongst teenagers. So that is probably one of the most obvious impacts of people were terrified of going to health facilities. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot more published on the subject over the coming years. The impact in Sierra Leone has been enormous.
I'd like to also invite any comments for our other two presenters as well.
Well, we have a multiple pronged approach to vitamin A deficiency in Sierra Leone. Dietary diversification is part of the approach, but of course that takes many, many years. Vitamin A is the fast fix approach to vitamin A deficiency, but you're quite right, dietary diversification and homestead food production of a mixed vegetable patch and orange flesh sweet potatoes are another favourite. But vitamin A is the fast track to solving the problem.
Any final questions?
The variables we use, food production for the cooking demonstration, and then how about the ones they learn how to prepare that add milk, add water, do they take some home?
It's available in the market, but the local ingredients with which it is made are very well known and have been advocated for many decades in the Sierra Leonean context. Traditionally, we teach mothers to take 4 cups rice, 1 cup conso beans, 1 cup sesame. It's a long-winded process. If you had to do it, it would occupy a lot of your time. And especially in the urban context, where women may have jobs, they may be self-employed in the market, taking time out to do that is a very big ask. So they do tend to go and buy products. Even in the village, it's a big ask. If you go into a village and you see a child with malnutrition and you talk to the mother and you ask her if she understands what she is supposed to be giving this child, she will give you the recipe. She does know what she's supposed to be doing. And then you ask her, well, is it available in the village? Yep, it's available in the village. So why aren't you doing it? And then there's a blank look of non-communication, which if you take time to sit and unravel, you'll find that she has no money at all. She has no relatives who are going to fund her at all. The father of the child don't know where he is. He doesn't send money. So the financial investment in that child is very limited. And for me, malnutrition is not just about nutrition. It's about unwanted pregnancies. If we can make contraception more readily available so unwanted pregnancies are avoided, I think we will make a significant impact on malnutrition rates.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank you very much for your attendance. I'd like to thank very much our three presenters today for the distances that you've traveled, the effort that you put into your presentations, and also your service to our board in terms of